aboard Best Mate, and he became the first jockey to complete the Gold Cup national double in the same season since 1976. And I'm joined in studio by Jim Cullity, by his dad Donal Cullity, by Michael Doyle, secretary manager of Killarney Race Company. Jim, is it a correct description to say that was the fulfilment of your horse racing dreams?
It would be to a point, but obviously a national hunt jockey wouldn't retire until they're 35. So I've got a few more ambitions left.
Did you always want to be a jockey?
To a point, yeah. But to be honest, in my younger days, I didn't think I'd ever really be good enough. So I kind of kept my options open and I did my leaving cert and all that kind of thing. But once I actually took a year out before I went to college and went racing, and I kind of got bitten by the bug, and from then on, I was fairly tuned into it.
Donal Cullity, did you see success at an early age in Jim?
Yes, I was just thinking that, you know, he had a particular seat in a horse even when he was in a child, you know. I remember we were riding out in my brother's land, out in Fossa. Jim was about 11 or 12 at the time, you know. And he was riding this pony up just over small fences, you know. But Frank, my brother, said to me, geez, he says, Donal, I hate to say it, he says, but he's so bloody cocky, I'd love to see him fall off. But he had that seat, even, you know, a kind of a natural seat, and he always, you know, he wasn't always the most sweetest temperament little boy, you know. But once he sat in a horse, he always had a smile on his face.
I was reading somewhere over the week, I think it was when you were over in England, somebody had said this, when you were starting off, they said you had a great way with horses and you loved riding everything, but you weren't really into mucking out.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as say that. I didn't mind hard work, but not at the crack of dawn in the morning.
Heading into something like Aintree, Jim, I imagine you'd be a bundle of nerves heading into a race like that.
Funnily enough, I was fairly stressed out pre-Cheltenham because I had a lot of weight on my shoulders, and I did all that work with the horse, and I said, because there was a lot of doubt whether he'd get the Cheltenham Gold Cup trip. It was 3 miles two and he'd never been that far, and I kind of put my neck on the line by saying he would. And so I basically dug myself a hole and I was there to be shot at. So there wasn't a lot of pressure for that. But actually, in the entry thing, my horse was a kind of an outsider, and the Grand National is very kind of, people do take the kind of cavalier attitude, because if you think too much about it, you'd be frightened to death for a start. When you walk the course, the fences are absolutely enormous. And secondly, so much can go wrong that is totally out of your hands, like getting brought down. And like the year before, there was a massive pile-up. You know, there's so much that's out of your hands that there's no point worrying about it. And you do kind of go out the night before and get to the races, and everybody's in great form, and just your luck is with the gods, really, you know.
I've often wondered that, what do you do the night before a race? What do you do? Is there a particular set pattern of something that you do, or do you just go out and try and relax?
Well, the thing is, in England, we race 6 days a week. And sometimes you could go somewhere on a Monday and you'd have as important a ride as a big race. You know, you might be riding a good horse, but at a little meeting, you know, you just deal with the pressure day in, day out, so you just live life normally. But, like, you do tend to go to bed early because you're up early in the morning and things like that.
And I wonder, and you mentioned that thing about the pile-up, and I had read somewhere they were declared, I think, Sporting Hero of the Week for the I think it was a Munster Express newspaper, and it was in relation to that pile-up. It was said that you more or less saved the life of one of the other jockeys.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite go as far as say that. But it was funny at the time. My horse got stuck on top of the fence, and he fell over backwards and landed down on another jockey, Warren Marston, that was lying on the ground, and I heard this kind of a scream. I think Warren got a bit of a shock when the horse's backside landed on his face, but I just pulled him out from under it. He was fine anyway, there was no bother.
I said I'm joined in studio by Donal Sheehan. Donal, I'm just going to move the microphone over to you there. You know Jim well as well, and you would have been aware of his interest and his ability with horses a long time ago.
Yeah, well, that's correct.
Well,
Jim was a chap I always admired because Jim didn't get it very easy, you know. Jim started the hard way and he went over as a Mr. J quality, and there's great credit due to him for all he did. And he stuck it out and he had good times and bad times, but he always, as his father said, they had a perfect seat in the horse, and he knows how to present a horse to a fence and get him over it, and that's a very important thing. A very important thing for Jim is to avoid injuries, and he just showed me his hand there now, and if you see it, it is all scarred and all cut. Well, he rode all last winter, and people don't know it, with a plate in his hand and with screws to keep his hand correct. Now, thank God, he has all those things got off, and that he's getting very well. He won't be available to ride in Galway, but he's always a very good horseman and a very good, a very nice fella, and I knew him. I tell you, I know him a long time, but I knew him as a young lad growing up, and I knew him when he'd come up to me in our time to ride an old horse, and he went on a pint to pint one day, and I said, we didn't school that horse. I said, Jesus, mind yourself, because you'll get hurt. But Jim had no fear, fearless rider, great seat, as his father said, and a great man to present a horse to the fences, and I wish him all the very best in the future. And as he says himself, he did the thing. It was marvellous, actually, and especially for a Kerryman, because the fellas up in Kildare and up around the Curragh, they think that nobody can ride a horse, only the fellas up there, you know. And so Jim has proved the point to all budding, and there's a lot of young budding jockeys around Kerry at the moment, young lads in Killoglan, young lads in Tralee, and young lads around, and Jim has proved to them that you can still go to the top, even if you do come from Kerry. Mm.
Jim, Donnie mentioned the injury, and I saw your scars there earlier. It must be very hard when you've an injury like that.
I actually broke my right arm very badly about 4 years ago, and they put in a lot of metal. There was 2 plates and 13 screws, and it was fine for a couple of years, and then I got a couple of falls in it and a couple of bangs, and I was off from November till January this last season, because I broke another little bit of it, because I just got a kick on a pin, and it's just broken there a little bit, and I was off for another couple of months, and ever since then it's been sore. And
is that a downer for you when you're off like that and you can't ride?
It is that time of year. You know, it's fine during the summer because you can have a good old holiday and everything, but there's a lot of big races over the Christmas period and everything, and I missed a lot, actually, at that time of year. But at least now, this time of year, I've had the operation and got it all taken out, and it feels absolutely brilliant, so onwards and upwards, please God.
Michael Doyle, Secretary Manager of Killarney Race Company. Weetie, on his way leaving, he met Jim, and he had said to me before he left the studio, he said, Jim Cullity winning and achieving what he did would be like Ireland winning the World Cup.
It certainly would, Orla, and as the racing manager in Killarney, it certainly helped to put Killarney races on the map as well. It's wonderful. It was wonderful for me to be in Cheltenham this year when Jim won the Gold Cup. He had dug a hole for himself, as he said, and there was doubt as to whether a horse would stay the distance or not. But Jim has that ability to get his horse through the race and present him in the right place at the right time to go and win his race. He did exactly the same in the Grand National. I think that the two jockeys that I remember having that ability would be the late Pat Taff, who had the ability to get a horse through the race and present him at the right time. I think Adrian Maguire would be another exponent of that. It was a very, very special day for me. I was in the weigh room in Cheltenham just before racing Demetivos, or when I went in to look at the ambulance room there, and I saw Jim away from me, and he certainly looked very tense on the day. But I think the culmination of all that day was to see his mother Maureen, himself, embracing each other in the ring, and the odd tear after the race, and the odd tear being shed. I think that was wonderful. Jim is special jockey. He has a great seat in a horse, as Donnie said, and he has put himself on the map, and he has put Killarney on the map, and we are very proud of it.
Donal Cullity, what's it like watching your son heading into Cheltenham or heading into Aintree?
Well, quite often, you know, I'd go over for Cheltenham every year. I'd go over the week before just to get into the mood, you know. And we'd usually have a great time going to the races Friday, Saturday and Monday, you know. But the first day of Cheltenham, I could sit into the car. Ideally, I'd get a drive from one of my daughters, actually. But if I'm travelling with Jim, everybody knows you sit into the car, don't open your mouth.
What'll he do if you open your mouth?
If he whispers some sweet endearments in your ear, you're just tolerated and don't say anything, you know. Fortunately, I maybe 5-6 years ago or something like that, where I was traveling to the races with Jim in England, and I think Jim may have been even an amateur, that I don't know, but Richard Dunwoody parked next to us, and we're going into the course, you know. And Jim kind of said something, and he just walked past, and as if I didn't totally exist, like, do you know what I mean? You wouldn't do it to anybody. And immediately after racing, we were coming out with him, and he was all delighted to meet me and all sorts of things like that, you know. And I just said it to Jim, and Jim said, oh, that's just the way he is before the races, like, you know. He said, if you meet him tomorrow before the races, he'll do the same thing, like, you know. And so I had a little experience from that point of view, so you know. But I mean, it's like everything else. You're either, I presume, Dorney probably know better there, but I presume the Kerry team, before they go out and defeat for the Munster final or something, mightn't be too sociable either.
someone had said to me earlier, Donal, it was kind of unusual, I suppose, Jim, well, not his interest in horsing and horse racing, that kind of thing, but your location in the town is that you're kind of overlooking Fitzgerald Stadium, and they wouldn't have thought that horse racing would be the first thing that would come into their minds for a family living in that location.
Yeah, well, it's a strange thing. I mean, until that bloody bypass road was built up there, we had the horses down the back garden. We could ride up Kilcommon, you know, up through the dark wood. With the good graces of Paddy McCarthy, we could go up Paddy's Road and up there, you know, and then, you know, things were marvellous, actually, until that bypass, right? But you were about 12 when they built that for you,
Joe. Yeah.
That made freedom.
At the time, the roads weren't as busy anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, even when the bypass road was busy, you could still go across it, and it was fine. But, geez, you couldn't do it now.
The price of Angel, did I read somewhere it was around 290,000?
You're right, correctly.
Has it been spent?
As you so vaguely put it, something like that order.
has it been all spent, or is it put away in a savings account?
Bit of both.
Actually, an interesting aspect of the two races that you won, the Gold Cup and Grand National, you won exactly the same distance. The official winning distance was a length and 3/4 in both races. So you had a double there too.
Is it difficult now, Jim? I mean, you are a celebrity now, and you'll be kind of known, and particularly in Killarney now, people know. Is this kind of, do you enjoy that aspect of it?
When I came home this time, actually, for a bit of a holiday, my mother warned me, don't get too drunk. People will recognise it. Oh, it's fine, you know. It's obviously it's great at times to be recognised, because you can sometimes get away with murder. And actually, funnily enough, I got a parking ticket the other day, and I'm going down for this meeting with the town council tomorrow. I'm going to.
You might pass it on.
Yeah, well, chance our arm anyway.
in the races themselves, when, for example, that incident that we'd spoken about, where 6 horses went down, and I denoted, was it something like 2 horses died following the last Grand National? Is it difficult for a jockey when that happens?
Be perfectly honest, you do tend to be fairly professional about it. You know, horses do die and jockeys do get injured, and, you know, there's no point in losing a night's sleep over it. But sometimes you would get attached to a horse. This is one of your better horses. For example, Tony McCoy at Cheltenham this year. Everybody's saying how miserable he was and all that, but at the same time, one of the best horses he ever rode was a horse called Valeramix. And he got killed on the first day, so, you know, it's fair enough that Tony wasn't going around smiling and what have you, you know.
Mm. The caller has just rang in to say Paulie McSweeney from the show jumping would like to congratulate yourself and to point out that Jim has 3 cousins who show jump in Kerry.
That's right, yeah. Little O'Sheen Murphy there. I went out with him the other day and watched him riding around out in Milltown Riding School there. And he's fairly keen anyway.
Donny, you mentioned that it's a great achievement for Kerry and for a Kerry man to achieve what he did. Why is it such a big deal that someone from Kerry should achieve what Jim has achieved?
Because, if you like, there's very few horses being trained in Kerry. There's only a couple of fellas, and, like, you'll be amazed, the trainers up around the corner and those things, they think nobody down in Kerry can train a horse only themselves. That's for sure. So, an unknown quantity like Jim, to come up and to do what he did, I think it's marvellous, and I'm delighted. I'm as proud as him now as if he's one of my own sons.
Really? So,
and yeah, I am. And I love to give those a bit of a kick in the backside too sometimes, because they deserve it, you know. They think nobody knows anything about racing, only themselves. So
is that true, do you think, Michael, that this image that, you know, what would Kerry people know about horse racing?
Well, I think it's a source of amazement to all the racing people that there are three race courses in Kerry, and I think that piques them quite a lot. They wouldn't have a lot of respect for racing outside of the race course. They wouldn't have a lot of respect for racing in Kerry. They would think there's a Mickey Mouse approach to it, I would imagine, as Donny said there. But certainly, I think the way the three race courses are presented in Kerry and the effort that's made, and with Jim Cullerty now putting himself and Kerry and Killarney on the map, I think that helps to change that idea quite a bit.
Jim, what's the plan now? I mean, you've achieved, and as I said in the beginning, it was described as achieving your wildest dreams. So, what's the plan now?
Donny just said, "Right, 100 winners in a season." But my theory has been for the last few years, especially since I kind of got my first couple of injuries, and that it's been to try and ride more quality rather than quantity. Whereas, you know, some people will try and ride as many winners as they can. You know, I wouldn't mind giving up a winner here and there if it meant getting on a better horse, you know, to win better races. So I'll just continue to do that and try and stick to riding good horses.
You're 28 now. Will things change over the next 10 years?
Well, it will over the next 10, because I don't think I'll be riding at 38.
Mm.
But, obviously, things won't change an awful lot while I'm riding, but at the same time, I'm kind of building towards my future and what have you, so...
Do you look at that? Does that bother you when you start thinking, you know, I have a short career here?
It's always in the back of your mind, because, you know, you do see people who are good jockeys and they do a rewind and end up working in the yard when they're at retirement age, you know. So it's obviously important to keep using your head, and when you do make a few quid, try and invest it wisely and what have you. So, and actually being injured gives you a chance to do that, and the summer holidays gives you a chance to do that, go around and have a look and see what you can do. Come September time, it'll be full steam ahead again racing, and it will be until I'm kind of probably around 35 maybe.
Mm. Donal, I'd asked Jim what it was like, this new kind of celebrity status. Has it affected Donal Cullerty at all, the fact that his son has this new celebrity status?
Yes, there's no doubt. I mean, it has pluses and minuses, you know. I was in Dustin, left there for a few days holidays, and we came into Dublin Airport about whatever, something like 9:30 or 9:20, you know, and I was catching the connecting flight to Fallon 4, and so I hadn't an awful lot of spare time, and there was a passport control because of the flight coming from Dusseldorf, you know. It was about 10 people back in the queue, and the security men just saw me, waved me on, like, you know. This is the advantages of being on the late, you know, like, you know, so we know are you, right?
Not to mind, on Radio Kerry.
Sure, but on the other hand, like, you know, I mean, the Leslie Stoyle races, when I was up there now, like, you know, I know quite a lot of people in North Kerry because I have an office in Ballybunion as well, but I would certainly say that there was at least 200 people shook my hand that I never saw before in my life, and not alone that, they said to me, be sure and tell Jim we were asking for him, like, and I not having any idea who they were, you know.
Jim, as I said, Killarney Town Council are holding a civic reception tonight, or tomorrow night, in your honour. What does that mean to you?
Oh, it is a great honour. Actually, I had one about 4 or 5 years ago as well. But it is a great honour, and it's one of those things that you'll kind of remember forevermore, as you can kind of tell your grandparents or your grandchildren, you know. So see how we go.
Is there pressure on you now next year that you achieved the double? Is there enormous pressure on you heading into Cheltenham and Aintree if you go into those races next year?
I don't think. It's one of those things you spend most of the season gearing yourself, trying to gather your ammunition for those meetings and try and get on some good horses that will go to Cheltenham and to Aintree and things like that. And at the end of the day, if your horses are good enough, they're good enough. If not, they're not. But you kind of have to have success, and then people will turn around. If you ride big winners, people will then turn around. If you get beat in a big race, they'll turn around. They'll say, the horse wasn't good enough. Whereas before you ride the big winners, there's massive pressure going into it, because if you're on a good enough horse, the horse doesn't win, they'll say, you know, he wants a better jockey, you know. There's, it's a funny old game like that, but that's the way it is, so.
Mm. Michael Doyle, do you find yourself now looking out for young potential Jim Cullities?
Not really. I'm happy with the Jim Cullities that I have. It's just that, as I say, I felt privileged to be in Cheltenham and to watch him. I got up from the armchair watching the Grand National Quiet Horse and shouting, because I thought that the loose horse was going to do him in the last quarter of a mile. And I was shouting at my wife, who was in the next room, to come quickly, come quickly. So it's been... Jim might have been excited and being nervous, but we were all nervous and excited when the Gold Cup was coming and when the Grand National was coming, because we have a huge interest in racing. And I know Donal, his dad, has had an interest in racing, whether it's a profitable interest or not, I don't know. But
is this a profitable interest, Donal?
Of course it's profitable.
But down through the years, every race course of point to point that I've been at, I've come across Donal, and he's certainly an enthusiast. As I say, he seems to enjoy his racing. He comes out smiling most of the time. So, no, I am very happy with Jim. And the fact that he's a Kerry man, and first of all a Killarney man, is also a big bonus for me.
Donald, the Killarney Town Council honouring Jim with the civic reception, does it mean a lot to you?
Yes, well, it is actually the second time doing it, you know. When he won the amateur title there about 7 or 8 years ago, whenever they gave him a civic reception that time, like, you know. But this is very nice, really, to be honest about it. You know, I'm a past member of that council myself, you know. Well, most of the members now were hardly born when I was on it.
So you'd be a little biased?
Yeah, well, I'd be quite proud of being a past member of the council. And I'd like to see the achievements that the council have, particularly over the last 10 years, in kind of small things like the general public, it might take for granted, you know, but all those flower beds and all those and things around there, like, you know, I mean, the limited funds that the council have available and the pressure that they have to get their hands on the funds, really, and all the other things, Carly and them, you know, I think they've done a wonderful job, particularly, as I say, in the last 10, 12 years.
Jim, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said Jim Cullity is hot property. Is that how you'd like to see yourself?
They just referred to Maureen listening to something he was about to say a minute ago. My girlfriend is probably listening as well.
All right, very good. When you'll be back, as he says, I believe you got the plates taken out over there, was it? Did you get the plates taken out
in
your arm over?
About a month ago, yeah. About a month ago, so it's just healing up nicely now, but I wouldn't be able to ride for another month.
Okay.
Purely because, even though it feels fine to get a fall on it, especially on fast and kind of hard ground like it is at the moment, it'll break very easily again, so I'd say give it a while to strengthen up.
Very good. And I suppose all eyes then, you'd be concentrating on next year and the racing next year.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. By the time I'm riding again in about a month, we'll be full steam ahead then. Hopefully I'll be over to ride maybe at Listowel or something. So
very good. Jim Cullity, congratulations once again.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in and joining us this morning. And thanks to Donal Cullity, your dad, Donny Sheehan, and Michael Doyle of Killarney Race Company. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll take a break.